Hi, you're listening to A Side Quest, a video games podcast for people too busy to play video games. I'm Dave Rupert.
And I'm Jan Hoang.
And today, Jan, we have quite a lot to talk about, so I think we should just jump into our stand-up. Does that sound pretty good?
That sounds good to me.
Because the topic of today is going to be Nintendo Labo. Oh my gosh, Cardboardtopia.
Yes, Nintendo has successfully sold us or have us buy cardboard. They did it.
Yeah. I mean, with the Wii, it was, $20 pieces of plastic. And now they are selling us $60 pieces of cardboard. So that's cool. I can't tell you how much plastic I had. I gave it to a kid because I was like tired of the plastic.
Oh man, that reminds me of like when the rock band craze was going on in Guitar Hero. I bought all the guitars and I wanted to be, like a superstar with all my friends. So we had multiple guitars and microphones and drums and then the next thing that phase went away, and now they're all stuffed in my guest room closet. So whenever my guests, like when I have a guest come over, they get to open up the closet, they get to put their suitcase up, and then they get to see a pile of dead guitars. It's really sad.
It's not even like a guitar you can use. It's like literally just a like a plastic thing with five buttons on it. You can maybe upcycle it into some cool synthesizer, but
no. Yeah, it's funny. My rock band career was only limited to four frets. My pinky can never get to the fifth button. So I was always a normal player. Sometimes hard, but never legendary.
Couldn't get to the legendary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's funny is I played so much Guitar Hero. I'm thinking like 2006, 2007-ish, I played so much Guitar Hero that I'll hear a song like LaGrange, Janet. And I please don't sue us, ZZ Top, but I'll hear that song. And it sounds wrong without like clacking plastic. You know what I mean? Like without the clack, 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 clack. It sounds wrong. Or like Barracuda without like a plastic click track sounds wrong. So it's kind of funny that the impact of that game on like my life. But so Labo.
Labo, that's right. Cardboard.
Cardboard. So Nintendo, let's set it up. Can you set up Labo? Because you told me I should get it. So
set it up? Yeah. Well, I highly recommend it. Like when it was first announced, it was like, whoa, what is this? This is Nintendo like coming out with a new thing. And their new thing is building interesting things to work with your Nintendo Switch, whether it's a piano or a remote control car or a motorcycle handlebar. So I thought it would be a great complimentary thing for you to play with your son, because I felt like he could be at age. But after I was with you over the weekend to check it out, because Amazon didn't send me mine. I'm still waiting for it.
It's a crime.
I know, but anyway, so Nintendo Labo is basically just a kit that you can interact with your Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, so it's cool. You open up the kit and there's like, and I got both of the kits, but I actually haven't told my son about the punching robot yet. So save that for a surprise. No one mention it. If you ask my son about it, I will punch you. just like a punching robot. But the first kit is like it's got like six or seven things you can build in it. And you open it up and there's like 20, 30 pieces of cardboard just sitting in there. And maybe like 12 by 18 inch sheets of cardboard. Yeah. And they're all color coded. And so, and you open up the game, you put the game in. And the experience of this game is just wonderful. I kind of, in my notes here, I just have Nintendo are masters of fun, because like the 3D instructions, and you can like move it all around and make sure you get the thing. And then the sound design and the instructions are so great. Like when you like fold a piece of cardboard, it makes like a a chat, like, kind of sound effect with like some, like, you know, kind of snapping arrows, you know, just to kind of emulate a sound. And it's so satisfying. It makes you feel like that's like what cardboard makes. It's like a squish, like shriek sound, you know. It was so good. Very, very memorable. And so it was just it's pretty cool. So this first kit has like a motorcycle, a house, a car, a fishing game, a little robot, like, or like a bug that you drive around. There's some other stuff as well. Like, there's a light gun and like you can like shoot little guys and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool that all these things sort of exist in just one little box. So my son Otis, he's 4.5 years old. And so that's going to kind of like, I guess, tailor my review a bit. But he was very excited about the motorcycle. So he's like, motorcycle, 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 motorcycle. And so I, you know, of course, crack open the motorcycle. The motorcycle is very cool. It's basically just handlebars with like that you can go left and right, like steer. And then you move a throttle, like on your right hand is a throttle that snaps back. So it's got like a rubber band mechanism in there. Mm-hmm. And we figured out later playing the game, like if you actually lean like left and right, that actually controls the game as well that comes with it. So it's kind of like, it's actually like pretty, not real, obviously, like you have a motorcycle, it's not real. But it's also, it's realistic, I guess. Is that, would you say that?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty realistic because I was able to, once we figured out that the cheat code was the lean, that I was able to like get first place every time I touched it.
Yeah. At first I thought it was just like left, right. And then I was like, I'm crashing a lot. And then it was like, oh, if I lean, it's kind of real. So,
yeah. So it's the Joy-Cons, right? The Joy-Cons are attached to the inside handlebars.
Yeah. They're kind of inserted into the left and right. Joy-Cons are left and right handlebars. And that kind of powers everything there. You know, it took two and a half hours to build, it says like 90 to, 120 minutes or something in the thing. But when you have a 4.5 year old, you take breaks, he wants to play with it, you know? So it takes, it's, you know, he's like goes through the instructions way too fast and then you have to like go back. And so it took a little bit of time, to get that done. And for a 4.5 year old, that's tough. Like that's a lot of time to be sitting with your dad, like while like you're like thinking about a motorcycle, but all you have is a bunch of cardboard. You don't quite have a motorcycle yet, you know? So I think that was tough for him at 4.5 years old. It says it's 6+ on the box. And I think that's probably about right. I hung out with some 6-year-olds this weekend and there's a big difference, I think, in like between 4.5 and 6. So that could be right. But, you know, it's kind of like, can your kid do Legos by themselves with instructions? And I think that's like the age. And so you probably, it's like from like 5.5, 6 to, you know, 10, 11 kind of range for like when the sweet spot for this toy. Right. So I will say it probably two above, like above grade for a 4.5 year old, but it was great. My like review is pretty glowing because, you know, I definitely had that like maker vibe, you know, the like quote unquote maker trend. It was fun to sit at a table and we're not really playing video games, but we kind of are. But we were making something together and kind of constructing something. I thought that was really cool and not something you get when you go out and buy plastic, you know, like when you go buy the plastic steering wheels, it's different than that, you know, you're like tactically making something and assembling something together. So, and because this thing has like 7 different projects in it and more, if you count that big punching robot, like, you know, there's like I'm excited to have an activity to do with my son over the next like four or five weekends, really, because if it takes 3 hours, like, again, that's like maxes out my kid's attention span, you know, so it's going to be pretty cool. So the Labo is expensive, but like when you're a parent, you do this math very much, like you're like, well, 2 hours of entertainment over 5 weeks, like that's, it ends up being pretty good. So like pretty good price of admission. And, you know, we get these toys, they can paint, they can kind of, you know, just use until they break, you know, and it's like not a huge, huge deal. So I'm pretty excited about that. So,
yeah, when I was watching you guys build stuff, he was really into it with the Switch software, like how they construct. So with the Nintendo charm, like with the music and the sounds you mentioned earlier, he was like really all into that. So maybe like sometime in the future, like he'll be like, oh yeah, I remember sitting with my dad and putting together this origami. Is that how you describe piecing it together?
Yeah. No, I totally. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's just sheets of cardboard and they've been perforated and you just fold it up and it like turns into a thing. That's amazing. That's very cool. That's actually the thing I like also want to call out, like, and I'm biased towards Nintendo on this, you know, I've obviously spent money, business expense because we do this podcast, of course, but what I like about it is the Labo sort of flips like the mental model of the device into something you make something and the device helps you like create something. Does that make sense? Like it, you know, you make a thing in the Labo helps you play with that thing you made versus like the iPads, you know, iPads and Kindles and all that. They have pretty good like sketching and pencils and stuff for creative sort of stuff. But like, I feel like this Switch takes it a step further and says like, hey, just here, you have cardboard at your house, go use that and then tape the Switch to it and build a thing. And I think I like that, what that teaches kids about technology. I think you probably for sure saw it because of where you work, but The Verge had a Labo review. I'm forgetting the woman's name.
But it's Dami Lee. Dami Lee reviewed it.
Dami Lee. Mm-hmm. And she built a guitar and like played Rainbow Connection on the piano and her makeshift guitar. And she did that in like 2 days. It looked like a hell of amount of programming, but it was pretty impressive.
It was very impressive. That was one thing that I even know that was, you know, like it wasn't like advertised, you know, when the Labo came out, they're like, you can make a guitar. And I'm just like, whoa, is that true? You can make a guitar? So
yeah. Well, it's like you can like program. They have like rudimentary programming tools. Like, and, you know, if you hit this button, play this note or do this, you know. Mm-hmm. So you could probably build like a soundboard really easily, a like sample soundboard, you know, something like that, which that's so cool. Like that, I mean, I don't know. That's not in my iPad. I'm sure there's like an app that does that, but that's not in the iPad, you know? Yeah. So I think that's really cool. One small criticism I had was Otis kept wanting to play Mario Kart with the motorcycle built. Mm-hmm. And it does. I don't think it does work, but I hope Nintendo kind of fixes that or like figures that out, because that's like very logical for a kid to want to like, I built this motorcycle. Now I'd like to drive the Mario with the motorcycle. So, you know, I don't know, but
that game, the motorcycle game, it felt like it looked and felt like Mario Kart, but it wasn't, you know, outside of
Yeah, it's kind of like a Wii Sports feel, there you right? Go. Mm-hmm. Or like, yeah. But it was good. It was cool. But yeah, it was kind of, you know, I think if they want to take it a next level, it'd be like if you could like kind of, I don't know, patch program things into other games, like other control systems, you know, I think that could be kind of cool. So
yeah, maybe the punching robot can be integrated into ARMS, you know, the first person
the game ARMS. Yeah.
Yeah. The third person fighting game ARMS, or maybe, I don't know, maybe throwing it out for maybe Smash Brothers, but maybe that's a little bit too ambitious on my side.
No,
but yeah, cool. Like it would be kind of cool to interact the things that you make from the label to the Nintendo's first party game. But I think, again, that might be a stretch there.
Right, right. Well, but I just think it'd be really cool. I don't know. Like, could you imagine like a Smash Brother, like a, because they're like big Smash Brother esports, you know, conferences or whatever, or tournaments, mm-hmm. like have one in the Labo suits, like punching and like.
That'd be a great commercial for them too. Like, I mean,
it'd be awesome. So I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. I mean, I'm not saying it's the best thing, but I mean, like my kid will take any piece of cardboard and like turn it into a gun, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, what if you just made something like that for like first person shootery sort of things, you know, or like, I know, probably not that, but like Rabbids shooting plungers at things, you know, like mm-hmm. that seems like a ripe territory for fun. So
yeah, I would love to make the fishing rod. That's next on your list. I mean, wouldn't that be cool to throw that into Breath of the Wild and go fishing,
or yeah. ridiculous fishing, like the flamberry, yeah. right? Like playing mm-hmm. that with that. Oh man, that's a moneymaker. So I would love to. I hope they think about that. But yeah, no, it's pretty cool and. I don't know. I just think it's pretty awesome. I will, you know, obviously, again, I think I've seen some criticisms, like it's just a gimmick or it's just kind of, you know, juvenile and stuff like that. But I think that's the point, is it's not maybe for, like, it's not for you, it's for kids, you know? So, but saying this as a dad of a 4.5-year-old, I'm pretty excited about it and it was fun. My kids may be too young for it, but I definitely got that taste of that maker spirit. And I think that's what I want for my kid and my family. So there you go.
Yeah. So do you think, okay, so before we end the label conversation, do you think it long-term wise, do you think there'll be more stuff coming out, or do you think it's just like a gimmick?
I would hope, I mean, that they have a, you know, a plan. I mean, why not? I mean, they're going to get my $60 every 6 months or so, you know, I don't, mm-hmm. it's almost should just put me on a subscription or something. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious what the sort of longevity plan of this is, but you know, it's that thing when, you know, you look at the other consoles, you look at PlayStation and Xbox One, which I hear I sound like Donald Trump, a lot of people are saying, but like, which I hear they're not doing so well in sales or stagnating and stuff like that. And PC gaming is on a little bit of a boost, I think, but still not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the console game's a hard thing, but like, you know, Xbox and PlayStation definitely take that whole like masculine, like, yeah, dude, kill zombies, bro. You know, they take that spirit kind of to its like logical extreme. But Nintendo's like, you know, when everyone's zigging, Nintendo zags and they're just like, hey, guess what? Cardboard. You're just like, you're like, what? This is ridiculous, but fun. You know what I mean? So I'm excited. I'll keep y'all posted. Obviously, I think the piano is the next one I want to make, or even the house, and just see how my daughter responds to that, because it does seem a little more like geared towards kids who want to play house. You know, I'm not saying my son doesn't want to do that, but he was very much like motorcycle. So kind of curious how my daughter responds to kind of house stuff, or see how she'd respond to like fishing. She'll probably just throw it across the room, but because she's only two. But anyway, I'm kind of curious to see how they kind of all respond to stuff. So yeah, so there you go.
Well, when I get my kit, I plan to bust out and play it with my nieces and my nephews. So if they're about 9 and 10. So maybe that's the right age. And maybe when I get to that day, which may be sometime later next month, I also will report back on it.
No, that's cool. Yeah, you just show up and you have your Uncle Jan rolls up and has the punching robot, and you're a hero. You're a saint.
I would be like, I'm picturing it now. The kids are all dancing around me like I'm the best uncle.
Uncle Jan.
All right, we'll check back with that. Okay, so moving along, did you play anything else besides the Labo?
I got some news. I finished Night in the Woods.
Yes.
So, finally, it actually only took like an hour. I was only like an hour away. but man, it's good. And I say this, you know, as like a, you know, 30 something white male, the game could have been like very targeted to my upbringing and stuff like that. But, I just love the story. It kind of focuses in on this girl, May. She kind of drops out of college, comes back to her old hometown. And then it gets a little spooky. Like, it's just normal, kind of like college kid stuff. Like, hey, what's up? Not much. What's up with you? Not much. What's up? You know, it's a lot of that. But then it's real. And it, you know, and it even kind of comments on that, like in games, like games used to kind of mean something. And yeah, now I just kind of fast forward through the story, you know, like they kind of make an in joke, but it almost has like a Stranger Things Goonies vibe at some point. So, but it's also like telling like these really intense tales of friendships, and it tells like the tale of people in the towns and the kind of symbiotic relationship between people and towns, you know, like if people leave the town kind of dies, you know, like the big, little, not a huge spoiler, but like when May comes back, she like hears like the, it's not the Piggly Wiggly, but it's the Piggly Wiggly. You know, it's like the local grocery store shut down. And so now they have a new grocery store. And like, you know, it's like that stuff. It's like kind of this like weird, you know, like that relationship to that town you grew up in. Like, I think we all kind of feel that in some way. We're somehow attached to them. And I think the Night in the Woods tells that story great, but then kind of wraps it in like this mystery that you're, again, you're not like playing a game exactly. You're kind of just walking through it, almost like a point and click, but also, I don't know, more interactive. So it was a great game. I really can't say enough. Like, I want to go there. I think there's some other little missions kind of in the Switch version, like other little micro stories that come with it. So I think I'm going to play those, but, yeah, I'm kind of super stoked. I love the game and I love the story. So I give it as many stars as I can in this podcast.
Oh man. So do you think this game will they have like a sequel maybe, or do you think it's like a standalone? This is it outside of those little stories that you need to finish up on.
You know, I don't know. I want to see if those little, I think there are side stories, I think, but I need to actually click through and see. But I don't know if there'd be like another sequel, because it just kind of, it sort of tells the story it needs to tell, you know, like, like, I don't know, like if you could do another one, but it would be almost like, I don't know. The point of conflict would have to be pretty serious. Does that make sense? Like, you'd have to like,
yeah,
like, oh no, like, why do I have to pick this up again? You know, but, yeah, I don't think it's like a Mario property. Like there's not going to be a Mario 2, you know? But I don't know, but it's cool. But these like, you know, that story driven thing, like, I mean, one of my favorite things about the game, I think I said it, was like, you know, they play like in a band, you know, like, and so there's like a rock band element to it. That's totally optional. You know, even if it was like, they're going to like go on tour or like be successful, and you had to like, I don't know, some kind of same characters, but like, you're trying to like manage a local band and like keep money in there and, you know, stuff like that. Like that, I would play that game. You know what I mean? Like little tangents I would play for sure.
Okay.
So that was it. I mean, I feel really good. I don't know what the next game I'm going to play is. I need to look around. But yeah, we'll see. It might be some PC gaming. I'm not sure, though. So.
Okay.
How about you, Jan? What did you play this week? I dominated the Labo conversation.
Well, I mean, outside of hanging out with you and Otis and putting together a motorcycle, I also played the usual Overwatch and making progress on Splatoon. Apparently, one thing about Splatoon, when they're I'm trying to level up, you play the Turf War, which is like you just whoever spray paints the most on the ground wins. It sounds so silly saying that out loud, but leveling up in that game, I feel like me and a fellow friend on Discord are playing this, and her and I we played for like almost 2 hours the other night, and we didn't even level up once. And we're I'm like level 16, she's like level 20, max cap is 99. And I'm just like, man, it's going to take forever to level up. Yeah, so the reason why we need to level up is so that we can get, so we can buy new weapons. But right now, it's like, it's a grind. So that's how I'm looking at it right now. So
I'd like to jump in on that. I'll have to see if I can. I'm trying to figure out my whole week, you know, like when I can squeeze that in, like in a lunch hour. And I think I'm going to like get, I usually sit at my desk and work through lunch or watch YouTubes or something, but I think I need to be like really strategic. So,
So her and I, we actually, you know, we utilize 1 hour during either at, like during the day, sometime during the day, like a lunch hour, or you know, like right after work, like jump right in.
Oh, nice.
That's usually how we dedicate our time. And so besides playing Overwatch and Splatoon, I returned to Diablo 3, a game that. Yeah, I mean, it's a game. I feel like Diablo 3 is one of those games that I could play forever. I mean, it's running around, it's collecting loot, it's killing demons. I mean, that's just, you know, a game you could play forever. But they like Diablo does this thing called seasons now, like almost like you know Overwatch. Where you have comp seasons, like what are we at right now? We're in season 9, but Diablo, I think Diablo was one of the first ones to start the season thing, where you just start a new character and you just you get a bunch of free loot. I mean, not free loot, but at the end you get like different kind of gears. Like
starter.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you just get like a gear, like a set gear. And one of the awesome things about Diablo is that you get to, you're basically playing doll with your character. And you're just like, whatever gear you get, that's whatever power or whatever, whatnot. But it's fun. People play Diablo. I mean, Diablo's on every platform on Earth. I mean, if you haven't played Diablo yet, then just DM me and I'll buy you a copy for $10.
Anyway. I haven't played Diablo. My freshman year roommate played Diablo 1, and it was this different situation with this guy. But they he like had to drop out of college because he played too much Diablo. So
I can see that being a problem.
Yeah, he just would. Like, this was like before you even had like laptops or a computer, you know, guaranteed in your room. He would go to the computer lab in our dorm and just rage and like, yeah, just like 3 day benders. And then he got, yeah. Then like his parents came to get him because he quit calling him. So he got back. Anyway, that's a longer story about my old roommate, Andy.
And then, now I'm curious. I'm like, how is this roommate doing today?
Well, I don't even know. But yeah, you said Overwatch. I got too tilted in Overwatch and had to quit the other night. So we'll see. It's tough times.
There's a lot of things going on with Overwatch right now that maybe a minor break is a good break. But I still think it's just a variable of people just finishing up the last season and just pretty much just throwing it. They're just calling it. They're just not even
putting any care into the game. I'm going to get my 20 hours in on Doomfist. Like, oh, God.
Anyway, so, and then also one last thing is that I play some Hearthstone. Hearthstone came out with a new expansion recently called the Witchwood. And this game, I mean, I want to love playing Hearthstone, but man, every time I play it, I feel like I'm just getting worked. I just get dominated. It's like opening up my iPad and like, all right, let's get my butt whooped real quick. I don't even go into the game thinking I'm gonna win.
It's just like punishment.
Yes. I'm starting to wonder if Activision Blizzard just basically, I mean, they own me. I play Overwatch. I'm playing Diablo. Now I'm playing Hearthstone. And I also have Activision stocks. I mean, this company owns me. So
I wonder how long until, like, oh, if you buy the Overwatch Hearthstone computer and keyboard and mouse, you get extra loot in the game, and it's like we're all gonna have like over. It's like one step away from the Oasis from Ready Player One. It's you get the Overwatch VR headset, and then you get a special Tracer skin where she's in a Overwatch VR headset. So
we're already getting pretty close. There's a Houston Outlaws poster hanging over my head right now. So I don't know. My world right now is all Overwatch, all Activision Blizzard stuff. So, but I'm okay with it because I'm having a good time. I'm hanging out with my friends, and so the payoff is not like I'm just knee deep in all their IPs. So I'm getting something out of it.
All right, all right. Well, hey, we should wrap it up. Thank you, dear listener, for catching up on this show. We really appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to tell your friends about the show. We don't pay to advertise this, so that's how people find out, is sharing the show. So we really appreciate that. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, or game recommendations, hit us up on Twitter at @aside_quest. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Jan, you got anything else you'd like to say?
Just one thing I would like to add. It's like sometime this week, I'm going to tweet out a link to my Twitch account, and maybe we'll do some day streaming and we can hang out and play some games.
Mr. Jan has a little Twitch enterprise going now, so you should check that out. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. Again, thank you for tuning in. Good luck. Have fun.